Hey everybody, it's Rick and I am the Nomad Pastor. Just want to say welcome back. It's going to be episode 2, I think. And this is a new journey for all of us, well, at least for me. So what I wanted to talk about today, I just really want to talk about happiness. You know, what makes you happy? You know, I think when you think about it, you know, everybody can think of one thing that would make them happy, and a lot of people would say money. But can you think of 8 things? Can you think of 8 things that would make you happy? Now, I ask 8 because 8's a pretty specific number. It's not 1. It's not some magic genie. It's going to, you know, rub a lamp, and the genie's going to come out and grant you 3 wishes, right? But 8. 8 things to make you happy. You know, if God said to you today, can you choose 8 things that will make your year a happy one, and I'll give them to you, what would you choose? Excuse me. I think a lot of us would say, well, you know, unlimited money, or, you know, perfect health, or, you know, my family to be healthy, or, you know, an amazing car, a new vacation, whatever it may be, right? And don't get me wrong, those things are amazing, but, you know, everybody wants, you know, something to be happy. But is that really what happiness is? I'm going to read from Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. So it's Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And it starts with, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be fulfilled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.'" So in verses 3 through 10, we see 8 things that Jesus outlines. And I'm going to challenge that these are 8 things that Jesus outlines for happiness. Now, for me, you know, originally reading the Beatitudes, I thought, man, I never thought of it being the guide for happiness, but just as blessings that, you know, Jesus recounted as he's, you know, starting the Sermon on the Mount. And look, they are. But I think each of these 8 are much more than just blessings that he recounted. You know, the original Greek, the word blessed comes from Makarios, which translates to happy, fortunate, or blessed. So, you know, let me ask you this. Would you choose to be poor in spirit? Would you choose things like mourning or meekness? Would you choose hunger or being merciful or, you know, being pure in heart? Would you choose to experience persecution? Do you think these 8 things would make you happy? I mean, it's hard for me to think about, you know, there are places in the world that Christians are still persecuted today. And they just do it with, it never stops them from being happy. It never stops them from following Christ. They don't love it. Don't get me wrong. Nobody loves to be persecuted, but they never walk away from their faith because of it, because they are so happy. I urge you to consider these qualities that can bring happiness. Sorry. There are characteristics that we all have, right? Like pride or pleasure seeking, cruelty, hatred, aggressiveness, you know, compromising, procrastination. I don't think you could be happy with those characteristics, could you? Would you be happy with hatred or cruelty? Of course you couldn't. So I want to consider, I want you to consider the eight Beatitudes as eight steps of, to happiness. You know, humility is a way to happiness, right? In Matthew 5:3, when Jesus spoke of being poor in spirit, he was referring to our recognition of both our spiritual neediness and the means that can supply our need. Poverty of the spirit results in our discovery of the kingdom of God. People who are in poor in spirit, they don't boast about their talents because they know they have nothing that has not been given to them. So why you would ask, why is humility a way to happiness? You see, when he said poor in spirit, he did not imply that being wealthy is wrong. You know, money can be handled in a Christian manner or honestly in a non-Christian manner. And we've probably all seen it both ways. Success and prosperity can lead a person to be self-satisfied and proud. Yet poverty can drive a person to dishonesty because they want to get someplace else. Jesus did not teach that the poor are spiritually superior. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what it says in 1 Timothy 6:10. See, Jesus declared that if you want to be happy, you must be aware of your spiritual poverty. No picture is more pathetic than that of someone who has a great need and they're unaware of it. Do you remember, you know, Samson standing in the valley of Sorek? He was surrounded by Philistines. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Judges 16:20 from the NIV. Poverty in the spirit is the beginning of happiness. It is the admission that you are nothing without Christ. This admission is always followed by the Lord flooding your life with riches of his mercy and grace. So to be poor in spirit is to be honest about yourself. And this is the way to happiness. You can't be happy until you're honest and open with where you are. So humility, it impels you to commit your full potential to God. You know, William Barclay concluded that blessed are the poor in spirit means blessed are those who have realized their own helplessness and who have placed their complete trust in the Lord. After you've done that, you will be detached from things and attached to God. You will commit your full potential to God's will. The boy who came to hear Jesus teach illustrates this commitment. He took all the food he had and turned it over to Jesus in John 6:9. Are you willing to do that? You'll be amazed at what Christ can do with what you have to offer. You know, Andrew asked what we are so often tempted to ask. But what are they among so many? In his own hands, the boy's lunch was hardly enough to satisfy one lad's hunger. But in Jesus' hands, the small meal became enough to feed more than 5,000 people. Never underestimate what God can do with 5 loaves and 2 fish. The moment you commit all that you have to Christ, the impossible begins. Poverty that produces happiness is poverty of spirit. Total submission to God's will is always best. And the humility is the way to happiness because it impels you to commit your full potential to God's will. It'll prepare you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not a single proud soul can be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. That pride prevents it. For life filled with pride has no room for God. So those who are unwilling to be controlled by the Holy Spirit are controlled by self-ambition. And therefore, the Lord said that we must become like little children before we enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, children depend on their parents because their parents are, because they are their parents. They're not really poor. And as God's children, we are dependent on Him. Children spend little time worrying about what they're going to eat or what they're going to wear, where they're going to sleep. They simply assume that their needs will be met by their parents. You know, we've all had kids, right? Or kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews or whatever. We've been around children and they're not worried, right? They go ask for food and their mom and dad give it to them. Our Heavenly Father is responsible for our care. We're told to cast our cares aside, cast them on Him because He cares for us. See, Jesus said to His disciples, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead?" If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And that's Luke 11:11-13. The poor in spirit know they are poor in spirit. They know they can do and can be nothing apart from the Spirit of God. Those who find happiness through humility allow the Holy Spirit to fill them. You see, humility that enables you to be honest with yourself, humility impels you to commit your full potential to God, and that prepares you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That preparation is the way to happiness. Filling of you with the Holy Spirit is the way to happiness. So, the first beacon of the Eddystone Lighthouse off the coast of Plymouth, England, was placed there 200 years ago to warn ships of dangerous reefs. The architect who built it, his name was Henry Winstanley, was so confident of its strength that he had written on the cornerstone, "Blow, O ye winds, rise, O ocean, break forth, ye elements, and try my work." Those were foolish words. For less than 3 years later, a raging storm just wrecked that lighthouse, completely destroyed the lighthouse, along with Winstanley and others who were making repairs on it at the time. Several years later, John Smeaton, an early leader in civil engineering, rebuilt it. He found a new site, dug deep in the solid rock. He was a sincere Christian. As the new cornerstone refilled, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. For over 90 years it has stood every test. It was founded on rock." So this is my question, right? Do you want the kingdom of heaven now? If you do, you got to dig deep. You got to build your life on a foundation of humility. You got to build that life on that humility because it is the way to happiness. Period. I challenge you to go back and read the Sermon on the Mount. I think it is, it's amazing, you know. But the Beatitude specifically, I would say you should go and research every single one of them. It's 8. They're easy. Understand what they, you know, understand the context of it. And, you know, like me, every day I learn. I don't know everything. I certainly, you know, I watch a lot of different TV shows. But I'm kind of addicted to the whole gold, the digging shows, you know, Gold Rush, Bering Sea Gold. But I think the reason for that is the more they dig, the more they find or the more they uncover, the more they learn about the ground and the path and where the water ran and where the gold may have been placed. And I really think that when I look at it, that's how it is when you read the Bible. You could just skim the surface and, you know, you may find one piece of gold. But if you really dig into it 10 feet, you may find a little more. But the more you dig and the more you prospect in the Bible, the more you're going to learn, just like digging for gold, right? The more they dig, the more they learn, the more they find out, the richer they get. The Bible's no different. The more you dig, the more you learn, the more you find out, the richer you're going to get. It may not be money, but it's much more than that. So be humble and be happy. Spend time in the Word and be rich. I want to thank you for listening today. And, you know, I know you got a lot of choices. I know this is a new podcast. You know, if you like it, subscribe on whatever your platform of choice is, whether it's, you know, iTunes or Spotify, Amazon, doesn't matter. We're listed all over. And if you have questions, just shoot me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. Thanks.